now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, I'm breaking the last grade.
Everybody, happy Monday. Yeah, Monday. And what a Monday it is. We got, let's see, Jeffrey, it's the first day for Ed Scott as the athletic director of the University of Memphis. Welcome, Ed Scott. He's got two first names.
Indeed he does. Yes, he does.
How do you feel about that?
I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other.
Here's the thing.
I'd rather have two first names than two last names.
That's 100% true. And if you are, here's the thing. If you've got a first name as a last name, there's nothing to be done.
Correct.
What are you going to, I suppose you could give him a last name as a first name, and that's ridiculous. You just got two. You know what? Josh Allen has two first names.
That's a great point.
Yes. It's okay by me. Anyway, Ed Scott's in town. Welcome to Ed Scott. I was talking to someone over the weekend about the task before him. And I don't just mean the macro stuff. Like, they're building a stadium.
Yeah.
It is like buying a house in the midst of a renovation.
Right, while he is buying
someone else's house. Someone else planned the renovation. We've made this comparison about how hard it is to be trying to cook breakfast while you're renovating a house. It's different. What's happened here is someone else planned the renovation, started the renovation, hired the builders, all of that stuff. And then they just walked out and gave you the keys to the house.
Correct. And said, good luck.
And
we wish you well.
So, anyway, first day for Ed Scott. Welcome, Ed Scott. It's also the week, we get August this week. Jeffrey, August arrives.
Indeed.
So if you want to squeeze anything out of the last few days, any joy out of the last few days of July, this is it for you. This is the end. And August, sadly, in Memphis, August means the return of school, which is just so dumb.
Well, no. The dumbest thing is, I was listening to Ron and Karen last week.
That's not dumb. No, you should be listening to Ron and Karen.
Right, but there were schools last week that were starting. God, that blew me. I was like, that can't be right. And then I looked up. Like, sure enough, Ron and Karen were correct.
School should start the Monday after, the Tuesday after Labor Day. And it probably never did for you, though. Did it?
No, it was always before Labor Day.
Anyway, school. So we got August this week. We got Ed Scott this week. We got Memphis football reports this week. We got Ole Miss football tomorrow, I think. Reports.
I'll take your word.
I think that's true. And we have a series of blazingly hot days, 93, 95, 96, 96, and 96 as your highs for the week. Better than the 100% humidity and soaking rains that we've had recently. I don't know. Like, however you do you, whatever you like. But it's going to be hot as we turn the corner from July to August. Also, we got Major League Baseball trade deadline this week, right?
Indeed.
And the continuing Olympics. So it's a busy time. Today on the radio show, not as busy because our only guest is Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock. He's got a piece over the Daily Memphian up about smash burgers. When did smash burgers become a thing?
I feel like it's in the last 5 to 10 years that you're talking about, like when you the flat top burger with the.
I don't really understand, but evidently, What makes a smash burger a smash burger is you take a ball of burger.
Yep.
Ground beef. You put it on the the griddle.
Yep.
And then you smash it on the griddle.
Yeah, and then I think...
What is the advantage, for example, of doing that over taking the same ball of beef, ground beef, and pounding it in your hands to form a very thin, let's say it's a Freddy's-like patty,
sure,
right, that is hand-formed as opposed to smashed? It's supposedly, by smashing it on the grill at very hot temperature, you're locking in the juices?
Yeah, so I think it's that it's cooking in its own, it's like cooking in its own juices rather than...
But when you when you do that with your hands, I don't have juices all over, I mean, some juices on my hands, but not a lot. Like, where's the juices going then? You don't lose any juices in the smashing process when you smash it away from the, when you form the patty away from the grill.
My guess, like a lot of things...
It's advertising.
It's a gimmick.
It's a brand.
Yeah, it's a marketing move.
So Chris seems convinced. He wrote about a food truck. It's called the Smash and Grab Food Truck. Sort of a little bit of a Memphis theme to the food truck. And I will say this: there are photos in the Daily Memphian of these burgers, and they look unbelievably good. Well, the ones where, like, you have three burgers stacked on each other.
So the first picture?
Is that it? Like, yeah. It's got...
The triple beef mafia burger? I'm assuming that's the one you're referring
to. They're thin and crusty and caramelized, and then there's cheese all over it. As Chris used the word melty in his column. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think melty is a word. Melty has become a word, like lots of... advertisement and melty cheese. Lots of people use it. He used melty, and I gotta say, the cheese looks melty. That looks like a freaking delicious burger, doesn't it?
I would certainly agree with you on that. My big problem is that, you know, I wish I were. I'd love to be an onions guy. I cannot be an onions guy.
Like onions. And you don't need onions, though. It doesn't have to come with onions.
I think that's part of it, though.
It's not cooked in onions.
Yeah.
It has a very limited selection of things that can go on top of it. In fact,
The burger to be the star.
They want the burger to be the star. Anyway, we'll talk to him about that. Speaking of the star, Santi Aldama was the star.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about things we're going to talk to Chris Harrington about. Santi Aldama was the star for Spain, even in defeat. 6-8 from three for Santi. How about that? Santi, I would posit, is the forgotten man of the Grizzlies summer season. Off season, don't you think?
Yeah, I also think you can make the argument like he's the forgotten man of like the last two seasons.
I think last summer at this time he was not. Last summer at this time he had taken a step. And we were hoping he was going to take another step, and then he really didn't. And so, as you look at the roster, who don't people talk about?
No, I totally agree with you.
It's Santi. I mean, who is relevant that people?
Yeah, I know.
People don't.
You're talking about guys that are going to get minutes.
Of guys who are going to get minutes, he's the one that, whatever, he could come or go, whatever. But there he is, shining again for Spain. 6-8 from three. Santi was great. Spain lost anyway. KD great as well. And so there you go. Besides Olympics, Jeffrey, tell me one thing you did this weekend.
Ali and I saw Twisters last night.
Oh,
so,
and
it is a very dumb, fun disaster movie.
Everyone says that I saw Dave Brown, the GOAT weather person in town. Dave Brown was commenting somewhere on social media and saying that they got all the details right, like the meteorologist details are actually less dumb than one might think in that situation. I don't know if you know enough about meteorology to know if it feels legit.
No, as I've told you, you could tell me, instead of actually trying to explain meteorology with science, if you just said it's magic, I'd buy that a lot more easily.
Right.
And so, but it is a very...
Well, it's a fun movie?
Yeah, it's a fun two-hour...
You recommend it. Two thumbs up.
Yes.
Yours and Aaliyah's.
Yes.
Okay.
Aaliyah recommended it for different reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
She loves her some Glenn Powell.
She looks at Glenn Powell like I look at a smash burger.
Yes.
With the same degree of want. Anyway, I did not watch Deadpool and Wolverine, although lots of you did.
It seems like we might have been the only two.
It brought in $205 million in U.S. and Canada, $438 million worldwide, ending a bit of a losing streak. The Marvels was a bust.
Yes.
And
I believe the term they use is flop, Jeff.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes, that also.
Another flop.
Yes.
And so it was important to have a win here. But in order to educate myself, Jeffrey, because who knows, someday I might see, probably in another 8 years, mm-hmm. I might see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see Deadpool.
The first one?
I didn't go to see. I called it up on my phone.
Okay.
I never have understood Deadpool. The whole concept, I hear people saying Deadpool.
Do you mean the character or the concept of a Deadpool?
No, I get that. I understand the concept.
Okay.
I didn't understand Deadpool, the superhero,
character,
at all.
Yes.
And I've gotten to the point. In fact, they say about Deadpool and Wolverine, most of the reviews say, good luck understanding this movie if you aren't immersed in the universe of these characters. That's what a lot of the reviews said.
In fairness, I think we told you that when you said you were going to see Dune 2 and you didn't see Dune 1. And then you said, you're like, I get it. Good guys, bad guys. They kind of laid it out for me.
Deadpool is charming.
Yes.
And
it's a very funny.
And it's a little bit like Iron Man in that it's just got a great little tail.
Yep.
And it's funny. And it's like, I liked it.
The guy playing it.
The guy
makes,
is well cast. Yes. But yes. It's totally perfectly explained from the, you know,
yep.
At the first 5 minutes, I was a little confused why my superhero was murdering everybody.
Right.
That was a little odd, but charming. So who knows? Maybe in 8 years, because that's how long it's taken me to see Deadpool. Maybe in 8 years, I'll go see Deadpool and Wolverine.
I do agree. Now that you say that, the first time I saw Deadpool, I had a very similar reaction the first time I saw Iron Man. I was like, that was awesome.
It was really good. Yeah,
that
really,
was
really
fun.
Good. Anyway, all right, that's that. By
the way, Iron Man's back, but not as Iron Man.
Iron Man is back as Dr. Doom.
Correct.
Heel turn.
Nothing matters.
We call this a heel turn.
Nothing matters. Well, maybe. I don't know. What if they're just trying to make us buy Robert Downey Jr. as...
Onward to the Olympics.
Okay.
Now.
Do you want the music?
Yeah, let's have some music. And here's the thing. I don't know that I've seen ratings from every part of the Olympics, but when it comes to the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, y'all watched.
Oh, I think Saturday was, so if I saw correctly.
Everybody watched.
Saturday, in comparison to the Tokyo Olympics, and that we obviously throw out every caveat, it's not a fair apples-to-apples comparison, but it was basically doubled.
Saturday was basically doubled.
Correct.
And Friday night,
most watched since 2012.
28 million.
Yeah.
28 million people watched that.
We're getting like a wild card weekend number.
And then what's amazing is you sit around all weekend long watching sports that you would never, ever, ever watch under any circumstance and enjoying it.
Yep. Totally.
The funny thing is, this just struck me yesterday as I was watching some team handball, or maybe it was Saturday. I was sitting there engrossed in the team handball, and I was thinking to myself, because literally what's happened is it feels like on the other channels, they've just totally thrown in the towel, right? The other channels, there was a wiffle ball tournament on, and there was throwing the sacks through the board. There was one of those tournaments. What's that thing called?
A cornhole.
Cornhole.
Yeah, I believe ESPN is running the Ocho.
It's just like, but the truth of the matter is, if you took the sports that were just concessions and made them Olympic sports and took the Olympic sports and made them concessions, you really couldn't tell.
Agreed.
There is no reason, I think, that wiffle ball should not, if 3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic sport, no reason that wiffle ball shouldn't be an Olympic sport. In fact, I think there's more integrity because wiffle ball is at least different considerably than baseball or softball, whereas 3-on-3 basketball is just kind of basketball with fewer people.
I'm taking a look at what's on right now. With all due respect, beach volleyball.
Like,
my deal is, I think
France and the USA right now.
Chase Budinger,
holy
former NBA guy, is playing beach volleyball.
He could be playing 3-on-3 basketball.
My deal is, do I think volleyball is a sport? Yes, I do. Beach volleyball is an activity.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. So, Jeffrey, sports that you watched for more than 1 minute.
Yep.
This weekend.
So I found myself.
Oh, I'm, 1 minute's that threshold.
Yeah.
You had to stop and watch for 1 minute. Okay, so what'd you watch? I'll see if I watch the same things. Go ahead.
All right, so I got into Olympic tennis because
I watch no tennis.
Olympic tennis rocks because it's all the guys we know.
It's the same with golf.
Correct.
But do they care?
Well, no.
But like Joker's never won a gold.
This is even more so. So basically, Olympic tennis is somewhere in between the senior circuit and I've got Nadal coming out there, and we're acting like Nadal's in this comeback. Really, it's just Alcaraz is putting him on his back.
How about Alcaraz? You gotta say, Nadal and Alcaraz.
Electric.
As a doubles team, is
correct.
Electric. And I gotta, and also say, Nadal is part of the opening ceremony,
yes.
Having won all those French Opens.
Yes.
That practically brought a tear to my eye.
I'm a Nadal guy. It's been tough having to watch and admit that Joker is the GOAT because Nadal's my guy.
I watched no tennis. Okay, you watched tennis. What else did you watch?
Rugby. Got super into rugby.
I watched some seven-man rugby. I did.
Seven-man and seven-woman.
And woman.
Yes.
I watched both. I watched both of those, too. I watched the rugby. Poor Australia. The guy sent off. Did you see the guy sent off with a yellow? Was it a yellow card? I believe it was a yellow card. He had a high tackle,
correct.
I think.
Yes.
And player safety, as we all know, is critical in rugby. And
he didn't wrap up.
The South African was
in the, he just ran right
he
at
was,
him.
He was in the try area.
What was he supposed to do?
He was in the try area. I didn't know if try was T-R-I or T-R-Y for a while, but I think I figured that out. So he was in, and he belted him in an illegal fashion and was sent off.
Yes.
I didn't know they had a penalty box in seven-man rugby, but
they do. I think it's like soccer. I think you play a man down, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So anyway, I watched some rugby. What else?
So I also watched some fencing.
Didn't watch any fencing. We got a gold in fencing, though.
So we did. We got a gold and a silver in fencing. We also had, I don't know if you watched some Gold Zone, but I watched some Gold Zone.
Didn't watch any Gold Zone.
And guess what else happened?
What?
My mortal enemy, the man that has haunted me and ruined my football watching experience for decades up until last year, Andrew Siciliano was back, and it took me like 5 minutes to start yelling at him again. he's throwing out facts like, nobody cares, Siciliano. Nobody cares. He had an awkward handshake with Scott Hansen as they brought that in. Let's see. I also watched some cycling because that was electric because it was pouring down rain.
I felt bad.
I know, but then you heard athletes afterwards.
One dude's in the hospital.
Well, yeah, but then you heard the athletes afterwards saying like, hey, when we coming up on that corner, like the fans are like, easy, easy, easy. It's like they were like telling us, we're like, thank you. Like we would have slipped. Yeah, that was.
I mean, you watched swimming, didn't you?
Yeah,
I watched the swimming, and you watched the gymnastics. Yeah. You watched the gymnastics.
They are really selling.
You watched some men's basketball.
Men's basketball. I watched.
You watched some women's soccer. Did you see any women's soccer?
I did. I watched women's soccer. We're trying to make soccer fun again.
I watched women's soccer. We're
scoring goals.
We've remembered that we're awesome. It's not women's soccer. Any team handball?
Did watch some handball.
I've turned 180 on team handball. So team handball is, of course, the sport where everyone thinks I could get my six friends, I don't know how many it is, and go win a medal there, right?
Like, yeah, seems to be the one that most people think.
Like we should, and it is certainly the one that there's no reason America shouldn't be good at this.
We should
get some failed basketball players and be good at this.
Or football, baseball, guys that can just throw.
But we're not.
Yeah.
We're just good at that. I used to think it was cool. Honestly, too much scoring. I don't know how you ever stop those people. Too much scoring. How do you ever,
that I've always had is a three-point game close? Because I feel like it's not.
I feel like once
a team gets up three, it's like, oh, they're going to need a lot to happen.
I watched all of those. And I have to say, I was immensely entertained.
I agree. Like, I found myself much more into the Olympics. So my wife really does
This is my theory.
My wife
if
really
we
likes
say
the
we
Olympics.
Don't care.
No, but I've always acknowledged as soon as you put, I will not care
until you put the flag on there,
the flag and the medal.
Medal,
and then all of a sudden,
we care. That's
correct.
What happens. A light goes on, and all of a sudden. We care. By the way, John points out that Santi Aldama balled out last summer
FIBA.
And it didn't matter. Yeah, but here's the thing. Last summer, we expected him to be balling out, and we thought it would carry over into the year, and it didn't. So does what he's doing now, is it an irrelevancy, or is what he's doing now giving us fresh hope and a reminder that Santi is a baller?
So my working theory is that Santi's game works in the NBA, but I'm just not sure if there's the spot for him with the Grizzlies. Like, it's almost like he kind of finds himself odd man out because he's not quite a wing, and then the type, what the skills that they need from the bigs, it's not necessarily whatever, like, what the Grizzlies need.
And then, of course, there was, we had controversy, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah. And with men? Is that what we're talking about, the men's?
No, I'm talking about the opening ceremony.
Ah!
First of all, let's put aside the controversy for a moment and discuss the opening ceremony generally.
All right, let's do it. We both watched.
I watched it the way God intended. And I'm not getting to the religious debate yet.
Yeah.
The way God intended, which is on replay, packaged nicely with music in prime time.
And lots of commercials.
And lots of commercials. And crossover. NBC. Yeah. That is how I think these things are meant to be digested. Yeah, you can watch the sports as the day goes on, et cetera. But then you sit down in the evening and you watch it. And you don't watch it. They aren't telling you. It's not like a highlight show. They're presenting it as if it's freaking happening, right? Like, as if it's almost live.
Yes, they're acting
acting as if it's live.
Yeah, let's go to the pool. It's like,
and so now, and so I had, and I'm totally willing. I'm a sap. I'm totally willing to go there. And so I'm just sitting. I wonder who's going to light the torch. You know, I mean, this is done 12 hours earlier. Right. I don't care.
We can look it up. But
I don't want people ruining the draft for me on Twitter either. So, it wasn't. I went for a dog walk in the middle, right? It wasn't so gripping. Actually, I went for a run in the middle as well. And so it wasn't so gripping that I had to watch every moment.
Well, there is that weird, like, 2 hours where it's just like, here's another country. Countries on a boat.
What was interesting about it, right? What was interesting about it is typically you get these countries walking into the stadium. And you get Mike Tirico even sort of apologized for this. He said, this is normally where we'd giving you facts and figures about the athletes, but instead, here's Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Right? And so so what we had instead was, it was normally you have the parade of athletes, and they focus on all the countries, and they tell you a little bit about their weightlifter or whatever else, maybe a few facts and figures straight from Wikipedia about the country itself, and then we move on to the next country. And let's be honest, it was kind of boring, but it was there would always be some, like, there was the shirtless Fijian weightlifter.
I think he's Tongan.
Tongan, you're right. No, the Tongan guy, like, there were things that was...
He was back.
Was he back?
But he had a shirt on this time, I think. But he was back.
So so they didn't do that. What they did instead was you had these people on their boats, and you'd see some teams on boats. And by the way, I don't know how they did the boat draft, but some of those boats were dramatically better than others of those boats. Like, the boats were not all created equal. This was not some, you know, you got a crappy boat or you got a beautiful boat. Sometimes you got a boat with a paddle wheel. Yeah. There were all kinds of different boats.
Well, there was, like, one boat that looked like it was, like, a 2-foot houseboat.
Right.
Like, I was
exactly.
Like, that is losing the draft.
Practically someone in a kayak.
Yes, exactly. Right.
So, and then they just go off to the show, and the show was about getting this torch through Paris. And that is really what it became. And then stopping along the way to break out in song one way or another, whether it was a heavy metal at Marie Antoinette. Where was that? That was at the what? What was that structure where they did the heavy metal thing?
Is that the Grand Palais?
Yeah, it was, I think. Anyway, so, I may be wrong. They did a thing at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And you can do this. It made me want to go to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent one day in Paris in my entire life, and it was because the Grizzlies, when they played in France and played in Spain, they took a charter, and stunningly, this was a different time, the media was on the team plane. And so I was on the team plane, and we stopped for one day in Paris and one day in Barcelona, and that was my day in Paris. And so it did make me want to go to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It made you want to go back to Paris, and you've been 17 times, right?
Yes. 17 is probably a stretch, but I'm close to double figures.
So Paris was beautiful.
Yes.
I did see critics who said what it did was diminish the athletes. It wasn't about...
I think
that's true.
Yeah.
If
the star of the show was Paris.
Exactly right.
Yes.
And it wasn't... it wasn't really. Now, you can argue that focusing on that athlete parade is boring, and I think people who are nostalgic for it Friday really probably didn't sit through the whole thing back when we used to have the athlete parade in the stadiums. But it was very different from that aspect. I thought the highlights, I thought the torch lighting with this damn balloon that went up in the air,
yep,
totally cool, right?
Yep.
Thought having a 99-year-old French, what was he?
Oh, God.
Cyclist.
That sounds right.
Cyclist, he was. A 99-year-old French cyclist on wheels, just different.
Yeah.
It was a wheelchair, but still on wheels.
Yeah.
Still on wheels all these years later. That was cool. I thought having Nadal be part of it, that was cool. I thought in the very beginning, they're running the torch through the sewers, and there's a rat.
Yep.
Like, that's bold. I did
fulfill my promise, I told you, by the way.
You watch Ratatouille later that night. You're so enthralled. And Celine Dion.
I mean, she was incredible.
Coming off the injured reserve,
yes,
injured list, belted that out.
Yes.
She was incredible. And I honestly thought that, for me, my personal highlight was Imagine. The song Imagine being sung by this ethereal singer as she's floating down the Seine in this
with her piano on fire, accompanying piano on fire. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
My wife didn't understand why I was on fire, and I just looked at her and said, "Why not?" What are you talking about? Like, yes.
Why not? So I thought that was all fantastic. And whatever. It was like, it was a little bit like the Macy's parade or a Rose Bowl parade or whatever else. I don't watch it all, And then Kelly Clarkson, all she did was say, wow.
Yeah.
And even Peyton, it was hard for Peyton. Like, there was nothing. What was there to say for those two people? I think there was a lose-lose position that Kelly Clarkson and Peyton were in. What were they supposed to say? Peyton had one good line. He said, "I've been in a lot of athletic tunnels waiting to come out before an event." He said, "You got to say, floating down the Seine in Paris for the Olympics is about the best tunnel that has ever been."
He also had
good line by Peyton.
He also had a Spygate line.
He had a Spygate line.
He had a Spygate line that was pretty good. Listen, I'm going to take up for my girl Kelly. Like, she was taking some heat online. She had no idea why she was there. Like, you could tell. Like,
well, there is a part of this that is, I'm a sap. I don't mind. I don't tend to be terribly reactive to the cross promotion, but it got to be a little ridiculous. The SNL stuff throughout the weekend, they're celebrating SNL.
And then Collins just in Tahiti?
And then Collins
is just in Tahiti?
He can surf, evidently, but yeah, he's in Tahiti. It got to be a little much. I'll tell you one thing I liked, though. I liked Steve Kornacki.
Yeah, Kornacki, but that's
breaking down numbers.
That's the one crossover they've found that kind of works.
Because
they've
totally
been doing Kornacki on a lot. Like, they've even brought him in on Sunday Night Football when we get into the wild card race.
I think it works. Like, he explained women's gymnastics last night and in a way that, now I get it. Like, well, it is a little interesting. Like, in whatever, the qualifying last night, U.S. women crushed it in gymnastics and well, you start over again now.
Yeah.
Now that we go to the team competition, you start over again. So all
it's not like you're scoring
this
from
margin
the prelims
of victory
counted.
We've built up does not. Whereas in figure skating, it does. Like, the compulsories, which you do one day, then do carry over. But and then, weirdly, in the prelims, you get to drop the worst score of your athletes who compete. Let's say whatever, someone on the vault F's up the vault. I think it was the floor exercise woman had a terrible floor exercise, right? Whatever her name is. I've forgotten. Hey, what do you think? I'm an Olympic expert here? And they get to drop the score.
Yeah.
In the finals, you don't get to drop the score.
Right. All scores count.
All the scores count. It's three athletes for three scores rather than four athletes for three scores. Anyway, I thought Steve Kornacki was good.
Yeah, but I would argue, we've been adding him to other broadcast non-political for a while, and like, it's the one thing
I think they figured out this works
because he's got the video board. It helps, and he's good at explaining, here's what this number means, here's what that number means, and he has the board that helps him.
We got to take a break, but I got more to say. We had the whole controversy. We got Team USA in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, This is where, this is your Olympic station.
Yeah.
The Jeff Gawkins Show in 92.9 is your Olympic station, but we got a whole full, we've got a full week and a full day of other sports as well. Before I tell you anything else, I was driving past the Frame Corner yesterday, actually, and I just thought to myself, isn't it great the way they make people happy? Frame Corner, of course, is right there on Park Avenue, and right across from the Firestone, basically. And what they do, well, they'll sell you a frame. It's the Frame Corner. They'll sell you a frame. But what they really specialize in is custom framing. So if you have something complicated or something you treasure or something you've been meaning to get framed or some piece of sports memorabilia, head on in and see what they can do for you. I guarantee they preserve memories. They can make it beautiful. It is the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. If you're selling your house, I would recommend you call Josh Isaw. I see these houses just sitting there. And I just reminded that Josh, he will now guarantee you get a cash offer on your home in a week. He guarantees that you get a cash offer on your home. In fact, basically, here's how it works. So, Candace, she lives in Cordova. She's selling her house. She's heard about Josh, whatever else. Gives him a call and gets the guaranteed instant cash offer. He comes over, walks through the house. House is sold in a week. And by the way, if you want to find out what your house is worth, if you go to joshsellsthemidsouth.com, there's a little dealy there where you can punch in your address and you see what your house is worth. It's Josh Isaw. It can be a tricky time in this real estate business right now. If you are selling your house, call Josh, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Okay, Jeffrey, I guess we got to tackle the controversy. People were mad. Facebook is a real, maybe it was on Twitter too. I thought it was mostly saw it on Facebook. I saw the mad people who were mad and then the people who were the mad who were at the people who were mad. And it felt like half the posts over the weekend on Facebook were about this one scene from the opening ceremony where people were offended because it appeared to be that they were creating the Last Supper with drag queens, right? And
that was at least the implication.
Okay. And then other people came back and they said, no, 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 you idiots. It pays to be educated. This is the Feast of Dionysus, the Greek god of wine. You probably know that.
Dionysus, of course.
The Greek god of wine. And the if you look at the painting by the Dutch artist, I can't begin to pronounce his name, the Feast of the Gods, you'll see that's really what it was based on, etc. And the Thomas Jolly, who was the opening ceremony director, he was on with French BFM TV, and he said the Last Supper was not the inspiration behind the scene, explaining that, quote unquote, Dionysus arrives at the table because he is a Greek god of celebration, and that particular sequence was entitled Festivity. The idea was to create a big pagan party in link with the god of Mount Olympus, and you will never find me or in my work any desire of mocking anyone. So you go back and forth. And people were offended, and then they were not offended, and everything else. And some people were going to boycott the Olympics from here on out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Listen. I understand that, like, Muslims will kill you, like some will, like if you mock Muhammad, right?
The last time the French, yes, like that was
like
the,
you're not allowed to like. Mm. I'm as a Christian myself, I was not offended. I understand some were offended. Here's the thing, I think most of the people who are offended probably didn't watch the Olympics to be offended. They went and found their offense later. Or they heard about the offended, and then they went and found it, and then they were told about it, and then they became offended. But they weren't, like, let's just not, like, you know what? This is the French, people. This is the French. This is the French throwing a party. What'd you expect?
Yeah, I mean,
a little bit outlandish, maybe.
So the first time they ran it was during the day, and it was when I was on the air. And so I was like, this is weird. But there was, like, a few other things, like, that's kind of weird. And then
we knew with context.
That's exactly it. I just thought it was a little weird.
Yeah, like
this is not for me. This is not for me.
I also watched beheaded Maria Antoinette singing. Like I was like, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Exactly, it's kind of weird. It's a little outlandish, a little weird. I 100% agree this. I do believe that the intent, whatever with Thomas Joyce, was not to mock. Now, they might have felt mocked. They might have felt like it was disrespectful. Even if it was the Last Supper. Let's be honest. The message from Thomas Jolly, et cetera, was inclusivity. Right?
Yes.
It wasn't to mock. That wasn't, we're going to mock Christianity. That was not. Now, Christians could have felt mocked and could have felt offended because having, I don't know. I just thought, like, can't we just please, like, get through the weekend without being all mad about something? Like, and then honestly, then the people who are lecturing back, I'm like, whatever, I get that too.
It was an entire debate that I just wanted
everyone,
to unsubscribe to.
Exactly.
Like, I was just
right.
Like,
everyone
I
is
don't
so
care.
Offended
y'all,
about
y'all go be mad in a corner of the internet. Like,
all
that's fine.
The time. And what it does, it I really preferred it when I didn't know what everybody thought. And maybe you all think the same thing about me talking now. Maybe you prefer when you didn't know what I thought. But so that's fair. That would be a fair criticism. I could hear that criticism. I just didn't understand. You know, I don't understand a lot of things. And in the world of art and performance and haute couture, is that the right? I think I said that right. I understand it's not for me necessarily. You know, I'm an old call guy, like whatever. But I just think it.
I mean, when you do it in what is considered the fashion segment, I just know that, okay, whatever's happening here, I'm not the target demo. Because that was like during the whole runway scene. And I'm like, okay, what? Like, this is for other people. This isn't for me.
Yeah. Maybe I've offended someone. I apologize if I have. I do not. I don't mean to be mocking anyone or offending anyone.
I understand some people took it
very seriously. And
I think, though, there is this reality as well. You are going to clearly focus and feature drag queens in inflammatory setting. You are trying to get some kind of reaction.
Oh, I think they are trying to get. I think that they intentionally included drag queens.
Correct.
For the purpose of saying we welcome everybody.
Yes.
They were making a statement.
Right.
About including drag queens. There's
yes.
no question. And the statement was, everyone is welcome.
Yes.
You can argue that at Jesus' table, like, he sat down with a guy who was
every single person right. that was an outcast.
And he sat there and broke bread with a guy who was about to betray him.
Correct.
Right? Like, he didn't boycott him.
No, he told Peter, you're going to betray me.
So, and you know, whatever. That seems like kind of difficult. But anyway, I'm not the one particularly to weigh in on this except to say, listen, if you want to root against France because of what they did, I can understand that. Like, go ahead and root against France.
Well, I mean, if you want to root against France, the number one thing
but didn't,
is...
weren't you impressed by Leon Marchand?
Yes, yeah, that was...
He's
that,
the swimmer,
the,
dude.
The IM when he's winning by, like, half the pool. But the other thing that has been very obvious to me about these games is that French's number one import right now, France's number one import, is athletes.
Do they have a bunch from other places?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's kind of why they're mad at Embiid.
Because he didn't join the fray.
Right.
He didn't join the fray. Well, Leon Marchand is the swimmer who, and that was cool. Like, he was doing the breaststroke, and in the breaststroke, you're underwater, and then you pop up. Then you're underwater, and then you pop up. Then you're underwater, and then you pop up. And every time he popped up, there was this deafening roar.
Yes.
And then he'd stop as he's underwater, and then he'd pop up, and there's a deafening roar. I just thought it was cool. I just thought the whole thing was cool. I enjoyed it.
He had his boy coming down from the stands to celebrate with him. I thought that was great. Yeah.
I didn't understand the kid getting the autograph. Did he know him, the other guy there?
It seemed like he was trying to hand him his shirt, and then the kid got nervous, and he's like, I think Leon was like, I need a Sharpie.
Okay. Onward to, we will wrap up this in a minute here, but onward to men's hoops, because... we do care about men's hoops, don't you think? We care about men's hoops.
Yeah.
We care about Simone Biles more.
I think in this setting, yes.
Like if right now I could give give you a men's hoop gold, or I can give you Simone Biles gold. I'm taking the Simone. Well,
the problem is Simone could get like five.
No, that's fine. No, triumph. Yeah, she'll win everything. Do what she's supposed to do.
Yeah. I agree. All around. I think
they'll do the all around. Because Simone Biles all around gold or the men's hoop gold, most Americans would take the Simone Biles.
Yeah, because it's also like this is her thing.
And she flopped at Tokyo.
Right.
She didn't flop. She had the twisties or whatever. She
they didn't let her take her Adderall.
So men's hoop, they beat Serbia again. Badly by 26. They're down 10-2. Break glass in case of emergency and use Kevin yes. Durant, who is, for all of his, the things that people mock him about, his burner accounts, his ring chasing.
I'll say the cheap championships.
All of this. The dude is awesome at basketball.
Yeah.
The dude is awesome at basketball.
Especially scoring it.
Especially putting the ball in that little hole. He is really good at that. Hits his first 8 shots, having not played basketball in forever. It was just otherworldly fabulous. Just comes in and, oh, I got it now. LeBron also really good. 21 points, 9 assists. And it's just interesting. He's become a truck.
You know,
like, I don't recall that early. He's always been a physical marvel. But now the lasting image of LeBron is sort of barreling down the court.
Yeah, it's the taking the ball from like the corner, or not the corner three, but like the elbow three, and then just going straight in the lane, physicaling, like muscling his way into a layup.
The scandal there was Jason Tatum didn't play.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr said he felt like an idiot not playing him. It is interesting, though. What it is, like we were just talking last week about, if you were to start an NBA franchise and you could pick anyone in the league, you know, who would you pick ahead of Ja? And we conceded that you would have to take Jason Tatum ahead of Ja, and you would have to take Anthony Edwards ahead of Ja. But Tatum was one, like, we said he's just like he's a star, but he's not like the others. He's not the same.
To me, he and Brunson kind of fall into the same category where I acknowledge they're great players, but like they don't, like with Brunson, it's a lot of like dribbling around and hitting shots, which he is unbelievably gifted at it. But I don't get as wowed by what I watch. Like when he goes for 40, it's a very different experience for me than when, you know, Anthony Edwards goes for 40.
Would you be miffed? If you were, it does suggest that Steve Kerr, the job is, he said he will play in the next game, which is against South Sudan. South Sudan, by the way, wins its first game, but as part of this, they're playing the national anthem. They played the wrong national anthem for South Sudan. They cut it off after 20 seconds.
Well, and then they announced South Korea as North Korea. The North Koreans, yeah. Like whatever.
There's been some hiccups.
I mean, to me, it does suggest there was a plan for him not to play. Because you could have easily put him in the game. Like, we've been seeing Halliburton's minutes.
But is that more insulting, to be put in the game at the very end?
I'm not even talking about that, but they could have worked him in at, like, 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you could have, there were places to find minutes for him. Like, that, but to me, what it suggested is there's going to be kind of a rotation of, hey, this guy's not going to play this game. Because I think he's in a different category than, like, Halliburton is. Like, Halliburton, I think, is just not going to play unless it's, like, absolutely necessary. To me, it seems like Tatum's skill set is a lot of ISO ball, and that doesn't really work necessarily with what they're trying to run.
And then we'll wrap up the Olympic portion of this show with a story of Seth Ryder, Germantown's own. So Seth Ryder is a triathlete from Germantown. Okay, we have several athletes here. Who else? We've got Harrison Williams,
yep.
Who's in the decathlon, MUS.
Go Owls.
And we've got Seth Ryder, who's the triathlete from Germantown. And we got Santi.
Yes.
And then there's a bunch of like Ole Miss people and University of Tennessee people and whatever else. Arkansas, I'm sure, whatever. A bunch of SEC schools have a lot of athletes because those, let's be honest. SEC schools have a lot of money for Olympic sports,
yes.
And so they're terrific at Olympic sports. Not quite Stanford level necessarily, but really good, right?
Yeah.
And But anyway, Seth
Rogen. Your alma mater's got something like.
Yeah, we got a bunch.
10.
We like, got a bunch there, yeah. Seth Ryder is, as a triathlete, has to swim in the Seine.
Yep.
And the Seine has been closed down for training once more for too much poop.
Yep. You hate to see it.
When you walk along the Seine, does it strike you that it's filthy?
No, you just know that it is because, like, this is, like, the common refrain, like, eh, don't go in there.
Okay.
But, like, it, when you're walking past it, do you go, like, no, like, you don't notice it.
So Seth Ryder, Germantown, Pride of Germantown, has a way that he is preparing for the heightened E. coli levels in the Seine. Do you have an idea as to what he might be doing? Or, as it were, not doing?
Full body suit?
He's not washing his hands.
Okay.
He's not washing his hands.
So he'll have the bacteria to fight the bacteria?
So he's
fighting fire with fire?
I don't know if he's fighting fire with the fire. He's building up some resistance.
Yeah.
So normally, Seth Ryder, like any civilized human being, washes his hands after he goes to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No. You got to when you are an Olympian, you got to be able to do what you
right.
do. And so he just like
he's embracing
up,
the elements.
Stands up, zips up and walks out into the world. And this is what he says. We know that there's going to be some E. coli exposure, so I just try to increase my E. coli threshold by exposing myself to a bit of E. coli in your life day to day. And it's actually backed by science, proven methods, just little things throughout your day, like not washing your hands after you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume Sam didn't just come up with this idea on his own. I would presume somebody was like, hey, you know,
Seth, Sam. Seth, Sam.
Yes.
Whichever.
Well, there's Sam Kendrick also.
Sam Kendrick is a pole vaulter.
Correct.
Pole vaulter, high jumper, pole vaulter.
Pole vaulter.
Yeah.
I would presume someone said, hey, here is a method that would work.
I would think so, I guess. It's funny, though. Like, Mac Hollins, the Bills receiver, he spoke to the media yesterday in Buffalo. And he was an Eagle. Then he was a Dolphin. Then he was a Raider.
I think his last was a Raider.
Then he was a Raider. Right. And now he's a Bill. And he doesn't wear shoes. And he eats with his hands. He doesn't use utensils. And he doesn't wear shoes. And so he was asked about this. I may play this at some point. And he basically says, you wake up in the morning and if you put, you know, why would you put on shoes? You can feel the earth. You can feel the temperature in the same way that with your hands, when you touch something, you know about the world around you by using your hands. It's the same thing with your feet. And so he said, my feet are healthier. They're stronger. I know the temperature. I know the weather. I'm not like, it's not trapped in sweat and whatever else by having my feet enclosed in these shoes. He said, I was born without shoes, and then someone freaking ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had once upon a time been having calf or hamstring problems or something, and he hired these trainers, and they showed up not wearing shoes, and he thought, well, you people are crazy. And now he doesn't wear shoes. He said if it gets below 35 and it's cold and rainy, he'll sometimes wear shoes. But otherwise, he does not wear shoes and says it's backed by science. Does that mean it's actually backed by science, or can you find some kooks or whatever,
right,
some people who say it? And I don't really know. I have no opinion on Seth Ryder, and I imagine what I applaud is commitment to the cause, right? He will be competing like at 1 in the morning, our time, this morning in the triathlon. And then after that, he can presume not just wash his hands, but wash his whole body.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is like a lot of things. Like, if you've got to kind of mentally, like, you've got to mentally convince yourself that what you're doing is going to give you an edge.
Right.
You know what I mean? To me, it's like no different than quote unquote playing with a chip on your shoulder. You know, like you're mentally trying to motivate yourself and believe like that you have an edge that someone else doesn't have.
Two last things on this. One is Snoop is tall.
Yes.
Did we know he was he's 6'4"? I found myself Googling. Like, he's dwarfing people.
I mean, I feel like we have this experience every time we put Snoop in the wild. Like,
tall.
you realize he's usually always taller than whoever
tall.
He's standing next
to. Do
you
like Snoop? Or is...
Yeah, no. I'll also say this. We, Aaliyah and I, watched the Kenan Thompson and Kevin Hart highlight show, and I think it comes back tonight.
Is it every night?
I think it's weeknights.
And it's on Peacock.
Now. Really?
It was laugh out loud funny. Like we were laughing pretty much the entire show.
What time is it?
We ran it right after the primetime Olympics thing. So we didn't watch late at whatever late
I gotta
night.
Watch it.
Yes, it's via Peacock. You can watch it.
I may sign up for Peacock.
Yes, it was. I mean, they even make the joke like it lasts just as long as the free trial does.
And okay, then my last question is: We've spent an hour talking about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
John texted me through as we were doing this. He said the only Olympics he watched was basketball, right? He was betting basketball.
Yeah.
He was betting basketball. And so I will ask you this. We know the ratings for opening ceremony were terrific. Is this going to sustain itself? Is America going to fall for these Olympics?
It usually does. Like NBC pays a lot of money for the Olympics because it beefs up their total numbers whenever you get an Olympic year. The summer games more so than the winter games, but like that's a big part of it. Like if you look at the years where NBC does the best in total viewership, it's usually because of the Olympics.
I got someone tweeted, I don't know how we got here, but in the year 2024, the two most wholesome people on television are Snoop Dogg and Flavor Flav.
The other thing is
hilarious.
I also feel like it's like the most sober I've seen Snoop on TV.
Well, there is that too. You wonder if that's in the contract. So anyway, I've said it before. I've covered 8 Olympics, and it's the most fun. There have been glorious moments. Probably the most fun I've had as I've covered sports is some of the truly glorious Memphis sports moments. The getting the NBA team, the those game 6, the game day, ESPN game day comes to town. Memphis Tigers beating the hell out of UCLA on the way to the final. Like, those are probably, but as a event, generally speaking, the Olympics are a total blast. And I watch that. It's the one event that I watch and think, you know what? I wish I were still covering that. It's just, I think they're great fun. And a lot of these people, you know, aren't making $250 million. And I think that for whatever reason, I don't resent the people who do, because in the sports that make $250 million, they're generating that money. That's the money's not, you know, and it's either going to the owners or it's going to the players or whatever else. So I don't, but there is a certain purity when you know, this person is going back to their day job when the Olympics are over, that they find a way to train for this. Seth Ryder is a perfect example. Like, I don't know what Seth Ryder makes for a living, but I can't believe it's a lot. And these people are balancing this and becoming Olympians with their day job.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that's like the other thing. It's like, okay, I also acknowledge like what a mental toll that has to be. Like, you know, you get one shot every 4 years, and it's like, you have to be
really
in peak performance, like peak shape,
How about Jordan Childs? Jordan Childs is third in the competition for the all around. Well, she's fourth overall, but she doesn't get to advance to the all around because you can only take two from each country. And so there she is. She's beaten out at the last moment by Suni Lee, who has her own tale of perseverance. And she's beaten out at the last moment. She's fourth in the world, and she doesn't get to go to the finals of the all-around. And then she's got to hug Suni. Like, that is tough, man.
Well, I mean, like, last night, I mean, with Harper Tall girl, Gretchen Walsh,
mm-hmm.
and then Husky, or whatever, the other...
She went to Harper Tall.
Yes, Gretchen and Alex went to Harper Tall. But the other American girl beats her by what, like... Less than a tenth of a second, and you're having to sit there and go like, I'm so happy for you. Like, I mean, and it's your teammate.
Now, there are some.
You'd rather your teammate beat you than...
Here's another one I watched. I watched a little mountain biking. We got a bronze in my mountain biking. Do you see that?
Yeah,
and
I saw it this morning.
No, we got a silver. At the end, the woman who got the silver and the woman who got the bronze, they hugged in a way that felt like they meant it.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like the French woman who was kicked ass... and won, it's like they knew she was going to win. They were just happy to get the silver and bronze.
And there are situations where you know, hey, we're playing for second.
Right. Anyway, it's fun. We aren't going to spend an hour on the Olympics every day, but But this was the first weekend, and I had a blast. Chris Harrington coming up next. We do have, we have some rankings we have to talk about in the second hour. And then we'll be unfolding all week long over at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk about that and more with Chris Harrington. We'll talk Santi Aldama with Chris Harrington. We'll talk Smash Burgers with Chris Harrington back in a moment. Before then, I will tell you that if you've got a big yard, piece of land you're taking care of, you should head on down to Mid-South Ag Equipment in Byhalia and take a look at their tractors. Listen, you may not be, have 700 acres of soy to take care of, but if you got a big old garden or you got some bush hogging to do, it's fun to buy a tractor. It's fun to drive a tractor, and it's the best way to get real work done. And at Mid-South Ag, they've got these Case IH tractors. They're smaller tractors, 140 horsepower or less. It's exactly what you need. Forget green. Go Big Red with an Case IH tractor from Mid-South Ag Equipment. They're in stock right now. Go take a look. 0% financing. It's on Highway 302 in Byhalia. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. Yeah.
It's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Because I Love You, Rufus and Carla Thomas, the first real single on what would later become Stax Records. Jim Stewart, the ST and Stax, the late Jim Stewart, born on this day in 1930.
Okay, before we get to the important topic of Smash Burgers, which is it interests me, I did want to talk about some hoops. Santi Aldama, very good once again for Spain. It feels like Santi Aldama is the player who is expected to get minutes, who is sort of the most overlooked, or maybe not by you, I'm speaking broadly. We don't talk about him much. It's sort of maybe don't expect it from much from him. What do you make of Santi Aldama and his current status with the Grizzlies?
He's in an interesting place because he is eligible for an early extension. He's still under contract next season regardless, but he's eligible for an early extension that would kick in the following year. They have a lot of players under contract, a lot of money on their books, and it is not dead certain what his future on the team would be. He has not firmly established that. He's established he's pretty good, but he's not firmly established what his role would be. I think last season was a weird season for the whole franchise. And part of the byproduct of the weirdness is that they didn't come out with a clear sense of what Santi Aldama is going to be and what he could be for them. And so I think more than likely he goes into the season without an extension and is in the rotation, probably coming off the bench. Not certainly, but probably coming off the bench. And then you sort of see where it goes. He has a bundle of attributes that are fairly rare. Like he's a seven-footer who plays on the perimeter and can handle the ball and pass and shoot and do a lot of interesting stuff. I felt like last season he was a little out of sorts even when he played. He finally came on strong there at the end. But, he still has sort of a lot to prove. And he's got players coming up behind him who are more like combo forwards than combo bigs, but could take that role. Gigi Jackson could basically take that role. Jake LaRavia could sort of take a role similar to that. I think it's a lot of uncertainty about Santi.
It's interesting because you talk about the weird year, and it was a weird year. You would have thought that it might have given him the opportunity to assert himself. Instead, he felt lost.
Yeah, it seemed like early on at one point he was. Like he had a stretch where he was getting a lot of shots, putting up some big box scores. And then I don't really know what went on with him. There was something about his game to me that felt listless, that felt like it drifted. I know that he, and I don't know whether this is related or not, but I know that he has changed agents in the past year. And I just don't, I've heard some other stuff on him that I wouldn't really want to share, but makes you sort of wonder about, where he's going, where he's going to be at going forward. I think he's talented and he's young, and I think he certainly could have a long-term future with the team, but it is very uncertain. So I think, you know, I think it's an interesting season for him.
You mentioned last week when we were talking about the Grizzlies and their cap situation and the fact that heading into this year, they have lots of opportunity to do lots of things, given that the assets they have accumulated. I presume he would be one of the assets. What? How might he figure into something, and what do you think his value is around the league? Do you have any sense of that?
Well, I mean, he's headed into – I mean, anything that's trading for him is going to have to – they want him beyond, you know,
right.
in the future, so you have to give him a new contract. So I don't know that he alone has a lot of trade value. I certainly think he has positive trade value,
right.
but I don't think he's like a big trade piece. But I certainly think if they determine, like, you know, our path going forward, that, you know, with Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark and Zach Edey and Gigi Jackson, like, you know, he's a guy who's going to get the squeeze, and he's not part. If they determine we're not going to get him a new contract next summer, I think he's an obvious player to trade, to be involved in a trade. But I don't think it's not like, you know, he's not Laurie Markkanen to the Jazz, where it's like, okay, send us all your draft picks and we'll think about trading them. You know, it's not going to be that.
Is there something, by the way, because as John Martin pointed out, he balled out last summer as well in international basketball. Do you think there's something about the game that fits him better?
Well, international basketball is different. And, like, you know, it's not uncommon for players to be better in one than the other. That goes both ways. You know, there's a lot of, there's not so much competition for him for minutes on the Spanish national team, honestly, there is probably right. for the Memphis Grizzlies, you know? So I think it's a clearer role for him, and he's higher in the pecking order probably for them. And I think, you know, he grew up in that style of basketball. And I think we've seen with, like, previous Grizzlies players, like, you know, the guy, not that they don't care in the NBA, but you really amp up in these sort of short-term, you know, tournaments for your national team. So, I do think that style of game is probably somewhat better suited for him. But I think he has all the ability to be a really good, not like an all-star or anything, but like a really good NBA player. He already is a pretty good NBA player. And so, you know, I think he's got a lot of future ahead of him in the NBA, whether that's with the Grizzlies or someone else. But, you know, he could easily play his way into, like, a long-term role with the team. He could easily be someone who the team is, you know, moving at the trade deadline.
Did you watch any Olympics over the weekend?
No, I mostly drove a cargo van over the weekend. We did an overnight to Chicago, moving all of our daughter's furniture into. She's moving to an off-campus apartment for her second year, and so we moved her stuff into the apartment over the weekend.
All you do is move, Chris. You just move.
Pretty much.
Aren't you sick of loading and unloading stuff?
I've driven a U-Haul from Memphis to St. Paul this summer, and I've driven a cargo van from St. Paul to Chicago. Yep.
All right. Just in case you hadn't noticed, Kevin Durant is good at basketball. And is still
good. It's true.
It's still good at basketball.
But you know, but the injury thing where, like, you know, he was cleared like an hour before or whatever, uh-huh. and like, This is going to be it's been the story. It's going to continue being the story at this stage of his career, where he is awesome when he plays, but I don't know how much he's going to play. You know, that's a real question mark for the Phoenix Suns.
Speaking of the Suns,
Tyus
at two. So now we've got the situation where we've got Kyle and DeAnthony on Golden State, and Tyus, and honestly, they all feel like a really good fit and important additions for teams that, you know, should be contending with the Grizzlies, jockeying with the Grizzlies. What do you think of Tyus to the Suns?
I mean, it's a good fit for him given where things ended up for him, but it's bad that for him that it got to that point.
Yes.
I sort of don't know enough to did Washington fumble this in the sense of they should have dealt him at the deadline and gotten something for him? Or did they not do that because they thought he was coming back? And if they thought he was coming back, why is he not coming back? And so I don't really understand the Wizards not trading Tyus Jones, then letting him walk for 1 year minimum. I don't really understand what's going on. I know they had a change in front office. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the front office that did not trade him had one expectation, and the front office that came in had a different one. You know, I've always felt with Tyus Jones that he's basically a really good backup point guard. That he is right. not he is not someone who's going to be a 10-year starter in the NBA.
He's Chris, he's a starter who comes off the bench. That's what he is. I mean, I'm just joking. That's what he always called himself.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I mean, it's kind of, but he is that, like, you know, there are 30 teams in the league and he's something like the 25th to 35th best point guard, right? And so he's sort of on the bubble. That's a really good player, by the way, but it's not a guy who's like, you know, going to be a 10-year starter for some team like John Morant. The Phoenix thing's pretty good for him. He is a top six player on that team. Maybe he starts, maybe he doesn't, because they have Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Grayson Allen. They just gave Grayson Allen a big contract. So I'm going to guess maybe Tyus comes off the bench and they start those three guys. But like, how many games is Bradley Beal going to play, right?
Right.
So I think he's going to play a big role there on a team that should be in the mix, that will be in the mix for the postseason, whether they're a top six team or not. They'll be in the hunt. So that's a good spot for him. But it's a one-year deal, and he's going to have to sort of, you know, try to prove himself yet again and then go back into the market next summer. I know there was a little – it was funny. The 6 hours I was driving the cargo van to Chicago, like within that 6 hours was the three-hour bubble of a rumor of Tyus Jones coming to Memphis and then Tyus Jones signing with the Suns. Like, it all happened in the span of me driving. I doubt there was anything serious with the Grizzlies and Tyus Jones. What I will say is that when stuff gets reported like that, it's just like, you know, here's like five teams that are, right, that have, you know, and there's one of the teams. That's usually not made up, but it's usually something like, you know, a phone call was made and a 2-minute discussion was had and then things move on, right? So I suspect that once it got to the point that Tyus Jones was just looking for a landing, do I think that, you know, that there was some conversation between the Grizzlies and his agent? Probably. There was probably a conversation with like 15 teams, right? I doubt there was anything serious there. It just didn't make sense at this point for either side.
Yeah, it feels like a deal, just back to me. It's not good for Tyus, and that he wanted a long-term starting position for real money somewhere, and so that's not good. But who's this good for is the Suns. Like, this is a great bargain pickup for the Suns, and so it's not good for the Grizzlies. If I'm telling you that there is stories will be written, let's say this December, about a great under-the-radar pickup who's having a real impact on a team, is it more likely to be written about Kyle, Tyus, or D'Anthony?
That's a good question. I mean, you got to tell me, the mystery there is D'Anthony Melton's back. He had back problems last season. I think if D'Anthony Melton is 100% healthy, I think Melton is the answer to that question. If Melton is not healthy, it's probably Tyus, because I think the Suns have a higher upside than Washington. And there's less clutter, you know, for good or for better or worse, there's less clutter on the Suns roster. I think the Warriors have like 10 or 11 like rotation players. The problem is there is the high level on them, where like their core is down to really two guys, and like one of those guys is Draymond Green. But there's a lot of depth of possibility there in terms of guys who can really play. In Phoenix, they got like, you know, six, seven players tops, basically. And so I think Tyus Jones could have a big role there. Tyus is probably the answer, but I think Melton has higher upside.
John Morant had his number retired at Murray State. Not much news particularly. He continues to sound good or whatever. And I know Taylor Jenkins was there. Zach Kleiman was there. And they did some deal where they teased somehow the Ja 2s. I imagine you're mostly locked in on the Ja 2 information, Chris. Do you have any thoughts on the Ja 2s?
I liked the Ja 1s. It didn't quite cross the threshold of a shoe I would wear, even if I didn't have like a conflict of interest.
Right.
But I did kind of like them. Not exactly my style. I'm not really a basketball shoe guy anymore. I'm like, you know, low top canvas sneaker guy.
I think the 2s are higher tops. I think this is correct. I think the 2s are higher tops. Anyway, enough about that. I want to get on to the really important stuff, smash burgers. Have you yourself, I know you've eaten less red meat, have you ever made a smash burger?
No, not really. Although I am, as I contemplate what I'm going to do, like with the outdoor situation at our house, I think one of my goals is maybe to get an outdoor griddle, which and I probably will do some smash burgers. I think primarily I'll use the griddle for like, you know, pancakes and breakfast stuff. But if I do get an outdoor griddle as opposed to just a grill, I think I probably will like, you know, indulge in the art of the smash burger.
Can you get a griddle as like a option on a grill? You put the griddle down on the top of the
place? You can, but that's not really what I want. I'm probably just going to do a basic Weber kettle charcoal grill, which is what I tend to do. And then I'll get like a separate like gas-powered
griddle.
I think that's going to be my plan.
That's interesting. All right, so the smash burger, I'll be honest. I wonder if it's real or if it's just marketing. The idea that you glock in juices by smashing the ball on the griddle instead of forming the patty with your hand seems a little preposterous to me. But what is that the concept?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's that. It's a different kind of – I like the texture. I like the sort of the lacy thin texture, and I like the caramelization. You get more coverage. I do think backyard, like charcoal grill burgers, are overrated. I think this is also backyard charcoal grill steaks are overrated. I think, you know, cast iron or griddle stuff where you get more coverage and more caramelization, I think is actually better probably for steaks and for burgers. In terms of the smash burger, I like the thinness. I like the sort of the lacy texture.
But do you need
it? I like sort of the crunchy.
Is Freddy's, which is a thin, lacy burger, I know you and Jennifer Biggs, it's one of your favorite fast food. Is that a smash burger, or is it just a thin burger that's cooked on a grill?
I have not been back in the kitchen. So I don't know, like, I don't know, how that's being done. I don't think it has quite like the caramelization of like what I think of with a smash burger, but it's pretty close. It does have sort of that lacy texture.
You bring it up.
I like this kind of burgers. I like those kind of burgers generally more than I like the thick burgers.
I bring this up because over at the Daily Memphian, you've written about a burger pop-up, the Secret Smash Society. Tell me about the Secret Smash.
No. Well, I mean that is a thing that has been written
smash
about.
Smash and grab.
I wrote about
smash and grab.
Yeah, I wrote about that pop-up is a different thing. I wrote about a burger truck.
I see.
The Smash and Grab Burger Lab.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they were related.
Really,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, they're two separate things. I've not actually had the Smash Society burgers. That's the guy who does the Kenneth Folk restaurant who I read about. The burger truck's great, and it's, it's a truck, so it bounces around. But you can follow them on Instagram. They have tended to be, not every week, but most weeks, they are in your neighborhood. Easy for you to do. Most weeks, they are outside of Yorkshire Liquors. They're on Quince on Wednesday afternoons, early evening. And that's a pretty reliable spot to find them. But, their burger truck, they bounce around. They're a new truck, and they do smash burgers that are really, really good, and fresh cut seasoned fries and lemonade and other stuff. And they're pretty, they got some fun names of their stuff. They're sort of hip hop culture influenced, but the burger's just really good.
It's the Smash and Grab Burger Lab, and the pictures are fantastic. Of course, you have these thin burgers that they evidently can stack three high with melty cheese.
Yeah, you want to get at least a double. You can go up to the triple. That's the Triple Beef Mafia. I would recommend the double, the Old Yay. Don't do a single unless you're like a toddler or something. You don't want a single on this.
Then the link between the food and the culture, they had a shop on South Main. Explain this to me.
Yeah, they still do. It's not open to the public every day anymore, but they have their own shop on South Main, a clothing store. And the guys who run this are also like designers. Like they did, remember the Grizzlies were doing like collaborations with like local designers.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of these guys were one of the groups they did a collaboration with. So they've designed like, hoodies and like clothing items for the Grizzlies.
Chris, I appreciate it. I'm going to have one this Wednesday. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Champion. I was a little depressed to see Tyus go to the Suns.
Especially on a very, very cheap deal.
That's what I'm saying. They got a cheap deal.
I thought a big problem that they had was they didn't have a pure point guard. And they had a bunch of guys that are two guards trying to play point guard.
They had no point guard. He's gonna organize things there. That wasn't necessarily great for the Grizzlies. Hey, if you want to bet on the games of summer, I got it for you. America's number one sports book, FanDuel. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. What do you want to bet on? Team handball? You want to bet on eventing? That's the horse thing, Jeffrey.
Of course.
You want to bet on the all-around? First $5 bet wins. You get $150 in bonus bets over at FanDuel. Don't miss your chance. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to sign up and start betting the games today. They're fun, however you do it. Can only imagine team handball with a little wager riding on it as well. Again, $5 winning bet gets you $150 in bonus bets. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. So over at the Daily Memphian, we have we're ranking the top 25 athletes, Memphis athletes of this century. ESPN did it nationally.
Yeah. Right?
They did it nationally, and we took a look around, and what you realize, it's been a hell of a century. And this was a hell of a task. Now, we have revealed, five at a time, we've revealed the first 10. I want to talk about this enterprise with Jeffrey when we return and ask some key questions about where he would rank some people, because it's not easy. We'll talk about that and more when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. So over at O'Call, they reached a point of the summer sale where they got a store in Nashville. And as it's winding down, they go over and they consolidate everything from the Nashville store and they bring it over here. And you got the best values of the sale. Plus, he got the new infusion of stuff from the Nashville store. So this is the moment. And by the way, did I mention that this week, it's going to be 93, 95, 96, 96, and 96 as your daily highs? Summer is not over. Summer is, let's be honest, in full swing here. And I'm going, here's the other thing. My son Ben's turning, what is he turning, Jeffrey? He was born in 97.
So that would mean he turned 27.
27. And I asked him just yesterday what he wants, and he wants some of those button-down shirts from O'Call.
Respect.
So so I'm going to be in O'Call this week, and to take advantage of the best savings of the season, this would be a moment for you to go to O'Call as well. All right, Jeffrey, we're doing the top 25 athletes of the century over at the Daily Memphian. And the first problem, the greatest athletes of the century. And the first problem when you do a list like this is what's greatest, right? Well, there's two things. What's Memphis and what's greatest?
Yes.
Right? So, on such a list, if you had been in charge of such a list, would Matt Cain count?
Yes.
Because Matt Cain went to Houston High School. He's a Memphian.
Correct.
And so he has to count.
Yes.
Okay. Would Albert Pujols count?
No. He just was here because of an organization.
Well, so was Powell.
Yeah, but like the idea was not to get Albert Pujols to the Memphis Redbirds.
Yeah, I think he technically counts. Here's how we did it, and even as we did it, I think some people disregarded it. What we did was we said, if you were playing for a Memphis team, like the Grizzlies or the Redbirds or hell, the Maniacs,
sure,
or whatever. If you were playing for a Memphis team, we counted what you did when you were playing for that Memphis team.
All right.
So for Albert Pujols, he came up for, I think, 3 regular season games at the end of the season, and then he did help carry him to the PCL title. He hit a home run. They still got a chair out there where he hit the home run. But you don't count any Cardinal stuff.
His time here.
And for Powell, same thing. You just count his time here. And honestly, for Steven Gostkowski, same thing. But for Tony Pollard, we count his time in high school and his time for the University of Memphis and his time as a Dallas Cowboy.
Because he's a Memphian.
Does that make sense to you? That's sort of how we had to do it. But I'll tell you this. Steven Gostkowski is on our list at number 20. And I don't think he makes it at 20 if you don't count the Patriots stuff. Because as a kicker at Memphis, you know who was better? Jake Elliott.
Yeah.
He was a higher percentage on the field goal, higher percentage on extra point, and it's more points. And so, Gostkowski made the list. And Jake Elliott, I'll just be honest, I'll tell you folks, like what we did was we came up with a ballot, and then we had the sports staff at the Daily Memphian. We got to let Chris Harrington off the hook because he cares about the NBA, but he doesn't really care about football or high school, whatever, right? So we let him off the hook. But everyone else at the Daily Memphian, we ranked them 1 to 25. And if you were 1, you got 25 points. If you're 2, you got 24 points, whatever. We just toted it up.
Right.
This is not my list. I have real objections to this list, and other people would have real objections to my list. But here's the bottom 10 so far. We're releasing them 5 a day. You can read of the Daily Memphian. You don't even have to be a subscriber. I do think you might have to sign up, but you don't have to be a subscriber. Here's the bottom 10. Ricky Stenhouse, Sean McKeel, Calvin Austin. This is 25, 24, 23 is Calvin Austin. Anthony Miller makes the list. Stephen Gostkowski. Hang on. Let me.
So I've got it right here. 25 is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 24 is Sean McKeel.
Uh-huh.
23 is Calvin Austin.
Yep.
22 is Nina Davis.
Yep.
21 is Anthony Miller.
Okay. And then we got 5 more. We got 5 more who we dropped today.
Okay. Now 16 through 20. Number 16, or I beg your pardon, number 20, Stephen Gostkowski, as aforementioned. Number 19, Brent Rooker. Number 18, Brady White. Number 17, Jaren Jackson Jr. Number 16, Tony Allen.
Okay. So, on this list, I'll be honest. Like, I would not have included Nina Davis until I heard about Nina Davis. I don't know Nina Davis particularly. I remember the name, right?
Right.
So, here's Nina Davis. You tell me, does she belong on the list? Nina Davis was a, you know, tremendous player at Central as a high school player. She then goes to Baylor, where she is a first-team All-American, okay? And is on the Big 12 All-Tournament team 4 straight years. We don't have many first-team All-Americans. If you look at the men's basketball players who leap to mind for the Tigers, Kendrick Davis, Precious Achiuwa, Will Barton, Joe Jackson, Jeremiah Martin, Antonio Burks, all from this century.
Yep.
Right? They would all be... None of them were first-team All-Americans.
Yeah.
CDR was, and I'll tell you, the CDR is on the list.
Yep.
Kendrick Davis is not on the list. Precious Achiuwa is not on the list. Will Barton is not on the list. Jeremiah is not on the list. And Antonio Burks is not on the list. Joe Jackson, spoiler alert, we haven't gotten him yet. He is on the list. So it's some of this is so like how you define greatness. Like first-team All-American is its own thing. None of these, they were all conference players of the year. If you're judging this list by impact on Memphis, well, then it's going to be all Grizzlies and Tigers, right?
Yes.
And but that's not what this list is. It's not, it's greatness. It's not impact as on Memphis.
Well, and to me, it seems like a key distinction is if you are from Memphis, you get the advantage if we get your whole career.
We get your whole career.
Correct.
Absolutely. But is that, I don't know that that's unfair.
I don't either. I think that's appropriate.
So
you were forged in the fires.
Did any of these first 10 strike you as Stenhouse, Sean McKeel, Calvin Austin, Nina Davis, Anthony Miller, Stephen Gostkowski, Rooker, Brady White, Jaren, and Tony Allen, and that's where we stopped so far? Anything about that list surprise you? Some people said to me, Sean McKeel should not have been on this list ahead of Lauren Roberts, who in this century, he did a lot in the previous century, but in this century, he won a bunch of senior majors, he won 2 PGA tournaments, and he's one of the greatest putters who's ever putted.
Boss of the Moss. To me, the key difference, though, Sean's born and raised here. Like Lauren moved here, and I've been grateful.
We get all Lauren's career when he's here, though. He's lived here the whole time. John Daly, we don't get all John Daly, because he's in Arkansas most of the time.
Yeah, but I think on both majors he lived here.
Well,
at least one of them. The PGA.
The majors were in the previous century, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
We don't get to John Daly. It's of this century. I'm interested, like, should Calvin Austin be on this list? Like, I would not have put Calvin Austin on here necessarily ahead of, I'll tell you who's not on this list, Shane Battier. So Shane is not on this list.
The question is, are we talking accomplishments or profile?
Paxton Lynch is not on this list. And Brady is.
I mean, I applaud y'all for undertaking this. This would be something that I would just not want any part of.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to be really mad because, and here's the truth. I think one of the interesting things was there were very few objections. The top five, who do you think's in the top five? Who do you think is going to be in the ultimate top five? No.
Zach?
Just give me five. Give me five. You got Grizzlies, Tigers. What? This is greatness. This is like,
what do you do with Derek? Because Derek's tournament is insane. But like Derek's 1 year, I think we've probably had guys that
had
better 1 year.
Who would you have higher, Derek Rose or CDR? Who's on the greatness?
Probably by the criteria that we just set out, CDR.
You don't get to count Derek Rose's right. NBA career.
Correct.
Who would you have higher? Ja, Mark, Zebo? Would they all be in your top five?
Mark is the most accomplished person with his time in Memphis. Three-time All-Star, first-team All-NBA, multiple All-NBA
and
teams.
He gets credit for the high school stuff, too. And because he's a Memphis high schooler, I think he gets credit for the world championship and all the FIBA stuff.
The FIBA stuff
so
definitely.
So you think Mark is one?
Yes.
You think Mark is the greatest athlete?
If we're talking the most accomplished, yes.
Greatest.
I'm putting Mark one.
And who's two?
God, the high end of Ja is still... Like, that's the other thing. It's like, do I... Oh, God.
I'll be honest. Here's what one thing we did was this.
I mean, if you want to put CDR, too, I'm not sitting there going, that's insane.
CDR. So CDR was the first... Was the leading scorer on the most dominant Memphis team ever. And we'll get to... Like, CDR is on this list, and we're up to 15 now... 16 now.
Like, not only first team All-American, isn't he unanimous?
He was. I don't know that he was unanimous. He was consensus. He was in basically every All-American team. And then he also, by the way, like in that semifinal game against UCLA, he had the defining dunk.
Yes.
And he was the leading scorer in that game. He had 28 points in that game. He was freaking awesome. I'll be honest. I won't tell you where they rank relative to each other. I voted Derrick Rose ahead of him. And then the only other... There's only one other Tiger basketball player on this list. It's an impossible list, by the way. Like, Shane isn't on the list. Well, here's the truth. Shane would be on the list if it were impact. You can't tell the story of the last century, of this century in Memphis sports without Shane, right?
Yeah, I don't think you tell the story of Memphis.
He never made an all-star team. He never was first-team all-defense, I don't think, in Memphis. He hit the biggest shot, one of the biggest shots in Memphis history against San Antonio. And he was critically important. But again, this isn't impact. It's greatness. And he wasn't great. He was great for Memphis.
Let's see. His all-NBA teams are 08, 09. That is not Memphis. That's when he's in Houston.
His all-NBA teams?
All defense teams? Yes.
I don't feel that bad about leaving Shane out. I feel worse about leaving Paxton. I had him in my top 25. Like the only Memphis quarterback that made this list, it's a crazy difficult list to be on, honestly, is Brady White. And here's the thing about Brady White. I voted Paxton on the Lynch too. I'm on the list too. Seth is the all-time leading passer, is thrown for more yards than anyone else. Brady White took him to the Cotton Bowl.
Correct.
That to me is the end.
Yes, like
he won more Seth games and took them to the Cotton Bowl.
Seth has a chance to basically
he can pass him this year.
Correct, but he hasn't yet. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I do think wins matter for a quarterback.
Totally do. I am someone that can acknowledge the wins and losses isn't a quarterback stat, but it kind of is.
How good do you think Brent Rooker is?
Brent Rooker is an incredibly good baseball player.
He should be on this list,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and Brent counts. You get Brent's whole career.
You get his whole career.
Yes,
he's a.
And he's a very accomplished college player.
All-star.
Yes.
Two-time all-star?
Is he two?
No, I think he's an all-star. He could be traded, by the way.
That's what happens when you play for the A's.
The A's, right. Yes. Yeah, he should be traded. He may well be traded.
He's a one-time all-star, yes.
Anthony Miller is above Calvin Austin and should be. He had two 1,400-yard years. Calvin Austin had 2,000-yard years. Anthony Miller was an All-American as a receiver. Calvin Austin was an All-American as a returner.
Yeah. Yeah, Brent was SEC Player of the Year, too. You get to count that as well.
Oh, we get to count that as well. You're right. I didn't even put that in the bio.
Yeah.
I'm writing all these bios. It is an impossible exercise. Sean McKeel and Ricky Stenhouse, they're 24 and 25, and they show the variety of this list. One of the interesting things is how many locals there are on this list, like people who grew up in this area. I was kind of surprised by it. Stenhouse, Sean, Calvin Austin, Anthony Miller, Nina Davis, Gusikowski did not. Rooker, yes. Like a lot of them did. Literally grew up here. Do you think Sean and Stenhouse, it's funny, Stenhouse hasn't done, I'm not an avid follower, he hasn't done that much except win the Daytona 500.
Yeah, he's got three, because my first thought was Ricky's a better racer than Sean was golfer. And
I think that's true.
I would probably.
But they each won, he's won the biggest prize. The biggest. The PGA is big.
Correct. But he's won the biggest prize in the sport. I guess you could say the title is the biggest prize in the sport, but he won the Masters. Like, the difference between minute, he won the equivalent of the Masters.
Would you have, how high would you have, where would you put Powell on this list? Would he be on the list for you?
Yes, Powell's definitely on the list. My first.
So we don't have him. He's not yet. We're up to, and again, you can read all these at the Daily Memphian. We're up to the top 16. We have 15 left. Should Powell be in the top 15?
Yes. My thought is Powell should be somewhere between 6 and 10. First All-Star, Rookie of the Year. Like,
we've already seen Jaron and Tony. Should he be ahead of those two?
Yes, I think he should. Even from just his time in...
just his time here.
Yes.
Rookie of the Year. He was an all-star,
yes.
Which Tony never was. Jaron was an all-star.
Yeah, he carried the team to the playoffs.
But he carried the team to three straight. He was the best player on that team. Carried the team to three straight playoffs.
I had no question
that Powell should be on this list. And I had no question, but it wasn't just my vote, that Powell should be top 10 on this list.
Yeah.
I think...
And we can count his Spain time when he was a Grizzly.
We can count his Spain time when he was a Grizzly. I would have him behind, and I did have him behind, I won't do the order here, behind Mark, Zeebo, and Ja.
Agreed on all this.
But ahead of Jaron and Tony.
Yep. I'm fine with that.
Well, you can see the rest of the list as the week unfolds.
I think that's an impossible
task. It wasn't impossible. Well, you should see, we're going to do others receiving votes. There was at least another 25 people who got votes. We could have easily done 50. It's been a hell of a century. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jason Fitz will join them. Connor Dunning will be, of course, my company this week on Jeffrey Wright & Company. Jason Munns will join us. David Cobb joins Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work's Done.